Welcome to the Blues Newscast. I'm Loretta Johns, Carlton's media manager. And today we're joined by Carlton's senior coach, Mick Malthouse, who is back from his holiday slash fact-finding mission. Welcome, Mick.
Thank you, Loretta.
How was your break?
Very good. Very, what would I say? I got a lot from it. I was surprised at really the time given to me by people who were very, very busy people, under pressure, going into championship mode, and yet they still had the time to give me, and I was so, I was overwhelmed by their generosity.
I know you visited some rugby clubs while you were in the UK. Is there anything that you've learnt from those clubs that you could bring back and implement here?
Well, it's a good question. It's, what do you learn from the sport, or do you learn from people? And I didn't actually go to the clubs. I went to the national teams. One was the Wales national team and the other one was the Irish national team. Coached by New Zealanders, different personalities, but had the same impact. They've done so well with their teams. In fact, Ireland beat South Africa, who had already come off beating New Zealand, who easily the number one team in the competition in the world. And Wales went down to Australia by 5 points. So, to lob on their doorstep days before the events, and for them to take time out to not only show me around but really engage me in the way their methodology is, one with training and the other one was with their equipment and also their grounds and their specialists, I thought was outstanding. I hope now that we can always reciprocate in some method. But I'm also very much aware that the AFL and football people from Australia, or people in Australia, have got a very, very good name outside of Australia, and to the point where the fitness come director of science at Welsh Rugby is an Australian boy. Born in Sydney, spent a lot of time at West Coast, in Western Australia, and some time at West Coast. In Ireland, it was a strange dealing of how I got set up, but I ended up meeting the Irish people there, and again there were people there that had played in Australia rugby, or come from New Zealand and gone through Australia in some capacity, whether it be through league or union, and ended up in Ireland. So there was a connection in regard to they understood that I'd coached an Australian rules football team and had been around for a few years and had something...
Just a few years.
And something to offer them, and they in turn offered it. But it wasn't a matter of, we'll give you something, you give us something back. It was really just the man-to-man contact that is... You appreciate that probably more than just walking into a club and going, okay, listen, show me your rooms and show me what your altitude room looks like and show me what your training room looks like. It's more about people. And I learned so much from those people in regard to confirmation about our systems, but also just the way they go about it.
Well, speaking of people, while you were away, we gained some fresh faces here back at training. Our 1 to 4 year players returned, and among them, Matthew Dick, Mark Wiley and Christian Jacks, three of our new recruits. What are your thoughts on these three new players that are now training with the side in particular, and how do you see them fitting into the team?
Well, they're all good kids. You've already said they're 1 to 4 years, so they fit into our system straight away. We're looking for players. We're a bit skew with as far as our age group goes, but now we're starting to address that. And you just don't throw people in because they're at that age. You put them, you handpick them, and Shane Rogers has been outstanding in identifying the talent of these players. Matthew Dick has spent a couple of years in Sydney, and if you're going to spend time at a football club, you must well spend it at a good football club. He has been at a very good football club where he's been able to see success around the rooms, on the ground. He didn't play senior football, but just by rubbing shoulders with some very good footballers on the training track, understanding the methodologies, understanding the commitments. So he comes to us as a young Victorian boy who got cut, but we're able to pick him up. And one thing I will say is that none of them are going to be guaranteed senior football. They've got to earn that spot. But early indicators are that they've got the right attitude, and that's the main thing. Then you look at Christian Jacks. Well, he's a young, tall from the Greater Western Sydney, again a Victorian boy, is returning home. And Mark Wiley is a New South Welshman. He's got a great character. He's already loved by the players around him, and he's
and the staff.
Okay,
made quite an impression already. He has.
Yeah, and I just congratulate him on his demeanour around the place. He's by no means a player that just throws himself at you. He's just there, but he's got a great disposition where he seems to enjoy life, knows that he's got a job in front of him, and just goes about it the right way. So, and that's not demeaning the other young kids, because you know some kids are very quiet and others are unassuming in some respect, but he's got something about him. But I'll repeat, no guarantees, but we expect that these players will add to our list and push very much for senior selection.
Another player that will add to the list when the senior boys return next week is Liam Jones. Now, he was a priority for the club over the trade period. Why was he such a high priority?
Well, he's got, in our eyes, great capacity to be a key forward or a key back for us. He's got speed. He takes a nice mark. He's a deadly kick. Works hard in a small area. I'd like to see him work harder in a bigger area, and we'll talk about that. But I think that the size factor, the youth factor, the fact that he was most of the time that he played for the Western Bulldogs, he was the number one forward. And sometimes I think that can overburden the player, particularly at that young age. I'd like to think that he's probably two or three in our system at this stage. Not saying that he won't be number one, but I just don't think that he needs that burden at this stage, particularly when you've got Henderson and we've got Cruiser and we've got, Watson went down there in the last game, kicked four. So we don't need to burden him with, listen, you're the number one player down there, you have to kick all the goals. You just settle into a rhythm, settle into the system, and play your role. So I'm hoping that from that we'll get a less pressured player and a more intense second or third.
Another Western Bulldogs player that could be headed our way, Jason Tutt. It has been widely reported that he has delisted himself from the Bulldogs. Is it our intention to pick him up in the pre-season draft?
It is, if that comes about. And we've got to stress that you don't have any rights to the pre-season draft. It just simply means if the player's there and you want him, you certainly will pick him. He's a good kid, quick, kicks the ball well. Again, something that we think that can add to our team. I don't believe that you should talk to a player at his age, and he's not an old player, but in stretch of imagination, and offer him the chance to play good football in our seconds. I think that you've got to be right up front. We believe that he'll play senior football for us, and that gives him the opportunity to know to come here with the confidence that we've got confidence in him, and I believe that he can add value to us.
I know we're a fair way down the pecking order with the national draft this year, but we essentially get a number one draft pick back, and that's Matthew Cruiser. How is the big man travelling? I know he went and got married in the off-season in his holiday, but how is his recovery from that injury, and do you expect him to get a full pre-season under his belt?
Well, he was very stiff. Towards the end of the year, he was over his foot injury, and that's the thing that we were really looking to get him right. And then just when we said, look, get a couple of games under your belt, and we'll bring you in for the last one or two games. He got one game in, then he got ill, and then it was just really, all it did was typify the year he's had, or the last, up until round, I think it was the first final last year he got injured. So it's a year that he will probably put behind him, gain some inspiration from, because he's one of those characters, he'll look at the positive side and say, okay, this has just helped me. I think he'd be number one recruit. He's got so much to add to our football side. He's aggressive. He's a multi-positional player. He wears his heart on his sleeve. He bleeds blue blood. I think every player in the club, every official in the football club wants him to succeed, wants him to have a little bit of luck. I feel very confident that he'll have a great season, and marriage will just top it off for him.
He just probably wanted the extra time to prepare for the wedding, I'm sure.
Yeah.
In terms of the pre-season, we have got a much longer pre-season this year to what we've had coming into 2014. What are your goals or your focus for this pre-season?
Well, we didn't want the longer one, but we got it because we didn't play finals. And then, of course, with the cricket the way it is, the competition kicks off on the 2nd of April, which we're first cab off the rank, which is good. It's good to get it going. What are we looking for? Well, we're looking for certainly looking for improvement from last year. We're looking to identify where we went wrong last year. We're looking for a list that is a little bit more in depth than what we had previous, because we got hit pretty hard with injuries early last season and we never really recovered from it. At this stage, most of our players will be up and running by certainly January, if not Cameron Giles is an exception, but most players will be ready in December. So let's look at January. Believe it or not, January will come around very quickly. And then at the end of February, we have our first game against West Coast in Mandurah. But prior to that, we'll have practice matches. So as much as it'll look like it's well drawn out, and for the supporters banking on a good season with the Australian cricket side, if that doesn't happen, it might be a long January and February. But for the footballers, you know, it's step by step. You get you build your legs up first. You build up a little bit of stamina. You get a bit of touch. You get through to Christmas, which we want them to get through in intact. We go into January. We've got the training camp and community camps and every other camp you can think of. And then all of a sudden, it's there. So what appears a long way away and can be, particularly with young players, can be very daunting to think, oh, here we are in November. But it'll come around very, very quickly. This is my 43rd pre-season.
Just a few under your belt.
And I don't say they get any easier and they don't get nicer, put it that way. They become a little bit of a bore. But what spurs you on is freshness. And when you bring into the football club 12 new players, and you mentioned Matt Cruiser, I treat him as another one, that's the 13th. Then you look at the young players of last year that didn't play a lot of football, in Cripps and Holman and so forth and Johnson. Then we're going 13, 14, 15, 16. So it's a real fresh-looking group, and I'm quite excited by it.
You mentioned the camps, and this year we're going to Mount Buller for our pre-season training camp as opposed to Arizona. What was the reasoning behind that?
Money.
All comes money, down to dollars.
Money and only money. No, we've got the cap, and we just haven't got the money to spend. And it's as simple as that. So we will go there. It's as much about bonding. We can drive hard through January. There's a heat component as well. We've got a little bit of elevation, which is quite good. We certainly won't be training at elevation with the footballs. We'll be training lower with the footballs. But it's a good opportunity to refresh ourselves on our game structures, on our game plans, on our principles, on our culture, and so forth. So it's a matter of getting away and making sure that we work together, and coming back and reaping the benefits of that camp. But you don't want to have a camp for the sake of having a camp. You don't want to waste it. And this will be fresh ground for us, because we generally have travelled. When I say travelled overseas. In this case, we're staying in Victoria. And what a greater place to stay. Right? Is there any better place than Victoria? Probably not.
Three of the players might beg to differ. I think they might have been looking forward to the overseas trip just quietly.
And you're a South Australian, so I can understand.
And I'm a South Australian, so I won't even go there. One of the things you did touch on before, though, is the fixture in opening round one against Richmond. Blockbuster, first game of the season, MCG. Fantastic result for Carlton. Overall, what are your thoughts on the fixture? Were you happy with Carlton's draw?
I'm a coach. Like every other coach, you look at the draw and you keep... As you go through them, you have this optimism around in November. You tick that. And at the end of the round, you go, goodness, we're not going to lose any games. We're going to win all our games. Reality says that I don't think it's ever happened where a side has won every game. The draw is the draw is the draw. There's always going to be a soft element to some and a harder element to others. I look at it this way. If you're good enough, you make it. You don't want to use the draw as an excuse for not making it. And I'm certainly not going to be using any... There's no excuses from the draw. It's every side that we play, I have respect for. I have respect for the coaching panel and the teams and the clubs. Every side that you play, it's another challenge. And regardless of whether you've been on top of the ladder or on the bottom of the ladder, and I've coached both. You treat that game as the next challenge and the most important challenge of your life. So we will tick the boxes as they come along, and that one is to get through to December intact. We want to get through to our first practice match with enough knowledge of the game plan to be able to say, it doesn't matter which 24 run down the race against West Coast, we're going to play them and with great confidence that they've got the game plan done. We'll practice a game plan over that West Coast, Collingwood and Geelong NAB Cup games, and we'll enter the Richmond game with, and I'll cross my fingers to say that we've got a good list intact and we've got our game structure in place that we've practiced over those three NAB Cup games. So that's what you look forward to, but you don't want to jump too far in front. And one of the great things about a pre-season is that you can actually tick things off as you do them. And we're approaching a game structure that's slightly different than last year and new players. So as each week goes past, you tick it off and say, like, we've covered that, let's move on to the next one.
And I know it's a long way off, but as you say, we'll be here before we know it. Round five, big milestone for you. Yeah. How are you feeling ahead of it? Have you thought much about it? And why Collingwood?
Well, to be quite frank about it, I was when it became obvious, it's not one of those things that you actually think about until it's mentioned. And it was a little bit of a burden. In fact, it was a big burden. I was dreading it. I sort of wished that Jock had coached another 100 games, so it never even entered into anyone's thought process. But unfortunately, that's the mind. You allow things to take place that I haven't allowed in the past, and one is expectations. I was starting to think about, comparisons and this sort of stuff. Well, we're in a different era for a start off, and, you know, at some stages there were, it's VFL versus AFL, and there's, what we coach, I've coached when there was 12 sides, now there's 18 sides, and I'm sure in Jock's case, I think there was, four or five sides in the comp one year. So there's so many differences, and it dawned on me, I was worrying about everyone else's expectations except my own, and I've lived only on my own expectations right through life. So once I'd worked out why I was getting burdened by this stupid number, I went back to thinking it's the thing that I ever get caught up in, and the expectations are I'll only live by my own expectations that drives me. So that was an easy one to get over, but it took time. I don't know why I was overburdened with it. Collingwood, well, I spent 12 years there. There was 8 grand finals, 5 AFL ones and 3 pre-season ones. West Coast was 10 years, and we had 10 fantastic years there. Footscray gave me the opportunity. Playing days, of course, at Richmond, I had some terrific times at Richmond, and I started my career at St Kilda. But I think overall there's a couple of things. I think for the club's point of view, it's best that it's Collingwood. For the fact that Jock McHale coached Collingwood for all those years, I think that's another reason I think that it's be a good day to share that day with his family, if they want that way, because certainly you can't escape it that Jock had that record, and in my mind was a prototype of what the coach has become. He coached for so long, and that family has always been part of the psyche at Collingwood. So I feel it's a good opportunity to pay respect for Jock McHale and get it over and done with.
Well, I for one am looking forward to celebrating it with you. It will be an absolute honour to be there on the night. Thank you for joining us on the Blues Newscast, Mick, and welcome back.
Well, thank you very much, Laura.